This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
The Hoffman Show on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, and we stream live on YouTube every single day at the Team 980. Now, yesterday, we played a very silly game with the NCAA tournament brackets because we told you we don't really know anything. At least, I don't know anything. But I did promise you that today, we'd bring on someone who did. And thus, it is my pleasure to welcome back to the show for, I believe, the third consecutive year, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, ESPN college basketball announcer and voice of the Baltimore Orioles, unrelated to the basketball stuff, Kevin Brown is here. Hello, Kevin.
Yay. Hi.
Hi. I think we did this in even more condensed time. I'm going to let you breathe a little bit this year. This is still the only bracket preview that anybody needs to watch or listen to anywhere on the internet, on the radio, and in any kind of media.
That's right.
We're going to cover the whole thing in about 20 minutes here.
This will be the only perfect bracket in the history of the universe until the first game of the tournament when Creighton beats Louisville.
Yeah, which it absolutely is going to happen. The knockout pool that shall not be spoken of beyond just saying the knockout pool that may or may not exist somewhere in the universe will be destroyed instantly. Yeah, so I'm just going to skip the Syracuse joke, Kevin, and we'll just get right into it in terms of where Syracuse in the bracket. They're not anywhere. We're going to start. Basically, what we're going to do is we're going to look at some key matchups, any upset alerts. And then the other thing that I want to do specific to our audience, Kevin, is any major NBA prospects that perhaps could wind up as Washington Wizards next year. So, like, we're talking the cream of the crop here because they're going to pick real high. We'll highlight in any region as well. So we start on the Alabama portion of the bracket, top left for those following along at home. What do you like? What's interesting to you in this quartet of the bracket? Not quartet. What am I looking for? Quarter of the bracket. Quartet
would mean
there's musical instruments.
I must have the wrong thing. I'm looking at the DePaul side of the bracket. This is for the college basketball crown, right?
No, there was a joke that I skipped about Georgetown playing for that, because we'll probably carry those games, and I was trying to be a good partner instead of a proud Syracuse alum.
Oh, that's yeah. Very
did we even make? And the thing is, also, did Syracuse make any of these tournaments? Are we in the NIT? Did we do anything?
Still waiting. You know, still waiting for the invite. Maybe you.
So I don't think we get to make fun of anyone.
No, I mean, I think, you know, 14 and 19, that could be an NIT team these days. Everybody else has opted out. No is the answer to that.
Yeah. No. All right.
Resounding.
So the NCAA basketball tournament, as
I've got
heard
it now.
Here
okay.
on the Team 980. Kevin, the Auburn section of the bracket, please.
Yes. Let me just give one big picture thought on the bracket,
sure.
Which is I think we are in for the top heaviest March Madness of my lifetime, arguably. Maybe since 2008 when all four one seeds made the Final Four. And here's the reason I say that. So if you're a casual college basketball fan or even a medium college basketball fan, you've probably heard the name Ken Pomeroy. Ken Pomeroy is considered to be the analytics guru of basketball. And I won't bore you with the details, but Ken has this website. He's been charting teams since 1996, 97. And he takes a team's offensive and defensive numbers. It's a very simple thing. And adjusts them to the schedule they play. And there is a whole lot more that goes into the formula. But Ken Pom is basically seen as the statistical Bible of college basketball. And here's the reason I bring that up. Every team gets a net rating based on their offense, defense, and strength of schedule. And this year, Auburn, who is the number one seed in the South and the number one overall seed, has a really strong net rating. It's a net rating that would have been number one in the country 7 of the last 9 years.
Wow.
This year, Auburn is the 4th best team in the country with that net rating. Duke, which is the best team in Ken Pomeroy's ratings, has the 2nd best overall rating in the history of his rankings, only behind the Duke team of 1998-99. Houston and Florida, the other two one seeds, historically great. Tennessee's the 5th team in the country. They would have been the best rated team 3 of the last 9 years. So what I'm saying is the one seeds here are possibly historically good. And for the many problems with college basketball, for NIL, for the portal run amok, for realignment, for gambling scandals that pop up a couple of times a year, the sport actually has an amazing amount of talent, and it's been consolidated at the top. The other thing I'll say big picture is last year, I don't believe any mid-major teams made the Sweet 16. We had the Cinderella thing with NC State. But you know, if you're a great player on a mid-major, low-major level, you're probably going into the portal the next year, and you're going to high major. That's just the reality right now. So I'm going to just couch my bracket picks with that. Auburn's the best team in this region. I think Michigan State's pretty close. Now, to believe in Michigan State, you have to believe in the Big Ten and the NCAA tournament. And the Big Ten hasn't won a championship since Michigan State 25 years ago. But Tom Izzo's good for a Final Four every couple of years. And I think this is the best Michigan State team he's had since 2020, if not before. That team ended the COVID year really hot. I don't like the 3 seed in this region, Iowa State. They're without one of their best players, Keyshawn Gilbert. So I think Michigan State will cruise through the bottom of the region. And Auburn stubbed its toe a little bit down the stretch. I think Michigan State makes it out of the South. I think it's quite likely a 1-versus-2 deal. I think the 5-12 game is ripe for an upset with Michigan and UC San Diego, if you want to go there. I think the 6-11 game is ripe for an upset. Upset with whoever wins in San Diego State or UNC over Ole Miss.
Of course, UNC is going to win, and they're going to win that game because there's all the hullabaloo about them making the tournament in the first place.
And I think the winner of that game, that 11 seed, will make it to the Sweet 16, beating Iowa State as well.
Wow.
But Michigan State, 9-10 deep, genuinely really balanced team, share the ball well, 5th best defensive team in the country. And like, if you're in doubt, just pick a coach who's won in March. And Tom Izzo wins in March all the time. He's won with less. I think this is one of his most talented teams. I think Michigan State wins the South.
Any top 10 NBA prospects in this region?
Oh, I don't really think so. There are lots of good prospects in the other regions. I think this is maybe the one that's lacking in NBA prospects the most as I scout through. Jahni Broome is the 2nd best player in the country. He's a late first rounder. Danny Wolf, who's a transfer from Yale, who's a 7-footer at Michigan, is a really interesting player. Great 3-point shooter, great ball handler. It sounds like maybe a low-level lottery pick. So if you're a Wizards fan, 2nd round guys here only for you. There's nobody that's going to be in the top 5.
Well, until they somehow wind up with five picks in the first round because they're trading their 182 second rounders and Will Dawkins is doing Will Dawkins.
That's definitely possible. Yeah. If that's the case, just watch all the games. Maybe somebody on Alabama State will surprise you.
Who knows? Kevin Brown with us, of course, calls college basketball games all year long for ESPN. You also might know him as the voice of the Orioles, going through the only bracket preview that you need in all of the land. If we go to the West region, this is where Florida is the top seed, Kevin. What stands out to you about this region where the Maryland Terrapins are the number four seed? And of course, their game you can listen to Friday here on the Team 980, the local broadcast. We have basically all the games because we have the Westwood One coverage. But as the home of the Terps, Kevin, local coverage, and we love local coverage. Local coverage starting at 4 o'clock on Friday instead of this very silly show.
We're all about local coverage here as well. I think you're going to hear three Terps games. I think the Terps are going to make the Sweet 16. I think they will overmatch the winner of the Memphis-Colorado State game. Really easy upset pick is Colorado State. They're actually favored in the game. Memphis is without its second best player. There's one real worry for Maryland, just one that I have, which is this is Kevin Willard's NCAA tournament history. Out round one, out round two. So he's never made the Sweet 16, and he's a really good coach, and I think this is his best team, but he's never made the Sweet 16. I just think the matchups here, if they get by Grand Canyon, who did win a game of the tournament last year against St. Mary's, but they're quite a bit weaker, they're much better than either Memphis or Colorado State. Love the Crab Five. Love Derek Queen, who probably isn't a top five pick, but is maybe going to push 8-10 range.
Yeah.
But Florida, man, Florida is special. And I saw Florida very early in the year, and they were special in November in the SEC-ACC Challenge, and they've gotten even more special. Great guard play wins in March. Florida has three great guards in Walter Clayton and Will Richard and Elijah Martin. They all play well together. Elijah Martin was part of the FAU team that made the Final Four 2 years ago. They are loaded with bigs. Loaded with big men. You know, how do big teams avoid upsets in the tournament? You got to maintain possessions. And Florida not only has the best offense in the country, they have the eighth best offensive rebounding rate in the country. So when they miss shots, which they don't often, they will get those shots back. Their one sort of weakness, they're about average in creating turnovers and they're about average in committing fouls. But they have so much depth. The foul thing is not a big deal. The turnover thing maybe is a little bit of an issue later on. I don't think they're going to have too much of an issue here. I think Florida takes the West. People love St. John's, and rightfully so. You know, the Rick Pitino thing is real. He's maybe the best college basketball coach since John Wooden, Bob Knight, maybe even better than Bob Knight, given the modern game. And St. John's hasn't won an NCAA tournament game since 2000. They're going to win a couple. Texas Tech is a team I love, and I think they're a little undervalued because people are in love with St. John's. They're in love with New York City. They're in love with Rick Pitino. St. John's, great defensive team. They will have really cold nights. And Texas Tech is a team that has tons of shooters, a great point guard in Elijah Hawkins, spaces the floor really well. I think Texas Tech makes the Elite Eight. I think Florida, which has now become the favorite in Vegas, I think Florida gets to the Final Four. Don't see much resistance from UConn. UConn's going to play Florida in the second round when they beat Oklahoma in an 8-9 game. It's a much worse UConn team than the last couple of years. And then for an upset in this region, Drake is 30-3, is the 11 seed. Drake plays at the slowest pace in the country. Oof. How do you win a game as a low seed? Maximize possessions. Take the art of the game. Drake against Missouri. It's a Missouri team that could like win that game, make the Elite Eight. But I think Drake slows them down, suffocates them, and Drake is your double-digit upset here, along with Colorado State in the 12-5. So some double-digit seeds I like. I also like Arkansas, the 10 seed over Kansas. But to me, it's Florida all the way down. And I would just say to people, don't be too tempted by the St. John's thing. They're good. They're really good. But the Big East was way, way down. And Florida is just a much better roster. I think Texas Tech's a better roster, too.
The Calipari self Pitino quadrant down there. That is spicy. It's just going to be fun to watch a couple of the matchups here. Like you said, stylistically, rooting for an upset where you've got like the most aesthetically unpleasing team, and you're like, this is the team that I want. But I guess that's the position we're going to be in with Drake, huh?
I think so. I mean,
continuing like a bad year to be Drake.
My gosh. No kidding. I mean, if they're down 20 in the first half, you'll know that the name is just cursed.
Yeah.
If Drake's down like 10-2, it might be over. Because again, they play that slow. But if they're up 10-2, then they just suffocate the life out of the game.
Sorry.
So I think you'll know it in the first.
There's not enough possessions left for you to come back.
I think you'll know in the first 8 minutes of the Drake game how that thing's going to go.
All right. Top right of the bracket to the East region. And that is where perhaps the most intriguing team in the entire tournament lives, because that's Duke and that's Cooper Flagg. But Cooper Flagg is not alone when you look at the NBA mock drafts. You quickly realize that while this team, certainly the best player is Cooper Flagg because he is a generational talent, there is a lot more talent that John Shire's got.
Cooper Flagg is probably the best college player in my 10 years at ESPN I've seen. He is that good. He is all that. Con Kniple's a lottery pick. I think Kaman Malawach, their 7'2" freshman, is a lottery pick, has a pretty good shooting touch, and is an insanely good offensive rebounder. And then below the lottery, Isaiah Evans, whether it's this year or next, is going to be a deadly 6'6 three-point shooter in the league. Tyrese Proctor is a 6'6 guard who can shoot, who's a great defender. There's a place for Sion James somewhere, who's a transfer from Tulane. I think they have 6 or 7 or 8 pros on this team. I've seen Duke 5 times. I haven't won a game by less than 20. So I'm just less than 22, I should say. I'm just blown away by Duke every time I watch them. The hype is real. People complain about ESPN and national networks and national writers overhyping Duke. And I understand why they complain about that. But they are wrong. This is, again, this is the best team in Ken Pomeroy's ratings since 1999. Not best Duke team, though it is. It's the best team. Wow. They share the ball as well as just about anybody in the tournament. They defend as well as anybody in the tournament. They have the third best two-point defense in the tournament. They're 8th in two-point offense. They're top 33 in three-point shooting and three-point defense. Again, they are not a great team at turning you over, but they're above average. It's the one weakness. They're a great rebounding team. They have Cooper Flagg.
The fan, they have Cooper Flagg.
Yeah, they have Cooper Flagg.
Give him the ball and get the hell out the way.
And the only question is, what kind of Cooper Flagg do they have? Because he sprained his ankle last week.
Right.
He's going to be playing. I doubt he plays much in the first game in the 116. Maybe they can get through the first weekend without him. I think the big thing for Duke that's under the radar is Malik Brown, who's a Syracuse transfer. Doesn't score much, but changes the game defensively. He's a small ball 5, or he's a 4 who's not much of a shooter. But Jim Boeheim, who coached Malik Brown at Syracuse and is in the Hall of Fame, told me this year, Malik Brown has the best hands he's ever seen on a player. Changes the game, deflects balls, gets steals, mucks up the defense completely. He redislocated his shoulder last week. I don't think he's going to play. And Duke's a little bit thinner at the 4 if he doesn't. It's the only place where they're a little bit thinner. But they're just so far and away the best team, it's boring to take them. And if you want to have fun, go with Alabama. Alabama made the Final Four a year ago. Alabama plays at the fastest tempo in the country. Alabama is one of the highest variance teams in the country because they play at a super, super crazy tempo. And they shoot three-pointers. 46% of their shots are threes. So if you want to have fun, say Alabama's going to get hot and hit 18 threes to make the Final Four. If you want to have a different kind of fun, Alabama shoots 22% from three and gets bounced in the second round by St. Mary's. I think both are legitimate possibilities. I think this bracket could get a little weird on the bottom because you've got VCU, which is a really live 11 seed, against BYU. That's a game in Denver. If it's anywhere but Denver, I'm probably picking VCU. But BYU getting to play close to home, understanding the altitude, I think that really matters. And I think BYU gets to the Elite Eight. They're kind of Alabama light. I don't like Wisconsin as the 3 seed to give you great value there. Maybe I'm burned by the Badgers of tournaments past. They're a little bit deeper offensively, but I think they're going to have a tough matchup with BYU. And I'm picking BYU to win in Denver. I do like St. Mary's, who's the 7 seed. They're always good. Deliberate tempo. Again, St. Mary's, Alabama would be a fascinating clash of styles. But I'll take Duke over BYU in the Elite Eight. And look, I hope Cooper Flagg is healthy, because I want the world to see what he can do. And I want Wizards fans to see what he can do until their hearts are ripped out and they get the fourth pick in the lottery.
Yeah, I'm so terrified of that. We had Haberstroh on the show yesterday, and he reminded me that with where the Spurs currently are tanking basically towards the end of the season, because obviously Wemby's been out with the scary thing that he's got going on, and then De'Aaron Fox is out, that all of a sudden the Spurs are likely to be back in the lottery, and all the Spurs do when they're in the lottery is win the lottery. And if Cooper Flagg and Victor Wembanyama wind up on the same team, I'm going to cry.
Just shut down the league at that point.
But not as much as Charles Barkley would cry.
No.
Because if Charles Barkley's got to go back to San Antonio for the rest of his broadcasting career, that might be it for the Chuckster.
That's it. That might ruin inside the NBA. That'd be bad for our network. Great for our network. Bad for our network. The only other thing I'll say is if you want to check out another non-Cooper Flagg player, the 8-9 game, Mississippi State Baylor, VJ Edgecombe for Baylor, elite scorer, super athletic guy. It's Flag. It's the two Rutgers kids who are not in the tournament, and then VJ Edgecombe on a lot of draft boards. So I would check out that game.
How the hell did Rutgers not make the tournament when they got two top five guys?
Super weird. I think Steve Peichel's one of the best coaches in college basketball. He revitalized Rutgers, which I didn't think was possible. I think he just kind of sold his soul to two freshmen, and it's hard to win and defend with freshmen unless those guys are special, like Cooper Flagg. And this is probably the worst defensive team Steve Peichel's had at Rutgers. I bet you next year Rutgers locks in on defense, has a top 20 defense again, gets old guys, and makes the tournament. And this year will be a blip on the radar screen.
I will unpack the defensive stuff of what to do with that information with the two Rutgers guys as prospects later.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the universe. University studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Last but not least, here with Kevin Brown, ESPN College Basketball play-by-play extraordinaire, we have the Midwest region headed up by Kelvin Sampson's Houston Cougars, which, reminder everybody, they're in the Big 12. Although I guess they've been there for like 3-4 years now, but every time I see Houston in the Big 12, I'm just like,
Only their second.
Oh, it's only second? Okay, good. Yeah. That makes me feel a little bit better. Only a little bit. Tennessee down at the bottom, Kentucky down at the bottom, UCLA, so a ton of blue bloods in this one, Kevin. How do you see it going, and who are the key teams and players to watch?
I mean, I picked a 2 seed and 2 1 seeds. I'd love to go off the board here, but again, as I said at the top, this is such a top-heavy year. Houston is 30-4 in the second-best league in the country in the Big 12, and here are their 4 losses. Auburn by 5 on a sort of neutral court game. Alabama in overtime on a neutral court. San Diego State, who's in the tournament, in overtime on a neutral court. Texas Tech by 1 point in overtime. So you can take somebody else. And again, if you want to win your bracket pool, maybe do that. I'm rolling with Houston. They're the second best defensive team in the country. The only better team is St. John's. And the difference with Houston this year, they are fourth in the country in three-point shooting at 40%. They always grab their misses. Kelvin Sampson's teams are always elite offensive rebounders. Again, that wins in the tournament because when the nerves hit and when stuff hits the fan, you're going to miss shots. You're an 18, 19, 20, 21, in some cases 24-year-old kid. You're going to miss some shots. You're going to get nervous. What do you do to survive the games? Get the ball. Houston gets the ball. Florida gets the ball. Duke gets the ball. These are teams that can survive and will survive bad shooting nights. But Houston has more good shooting nights than it ever has under Kelvin Sampson. So I love Houston to win this region. I don't think there's a ton of resistance at the bottom. Tennessee broke through a little bit under Rick Barnes last year, and Rick Barnes has had a checkered March history, but they made the Elite Eight and then lost to the runners-up in Purdue. And I also think Tennessee has more offensive weapons. They have a great point guard in Sakai Ziegler. He's a top five point guard in the country for my money. They have a dynamite scorer in Chaz Lanier, and they have a stable of bigs. So I think Houston and Tennessee are probably on a crash course, and it's another boring Sweet 16 1-2 matchup. The sleeper to make the Final Four is the 5-seed Clemson. Clemson made the Elite Eight a year ago, and they lost a couple of key players but replaced them with a couple of great transfers. Chase Hunter's in his sixth year, was a first-team All-ACC player. Ian Shefflin's in his fourth year, is an elite rebounder. Really, really tough defensive team. Not quite at Houston level, but not far off. And tons of experience. Elite Eight a year ago, they're a much better regular season team than they were last year. They're going to get past McNeese. And I think they're going to get past High Point. I see High Point over Purdue in a 13-4. I go back to Purdue's March history. I know they were in the title game last year, but it's not good a spotty history for Matt Painter. And High Point is 29-5, a top 25 offense. I'm feeling spicy and taking High Point. I'll take Xavier to beat Texas tomorrow and then to beat Illinois in the 6-11 game as well. I don't love Kentucky as a 3-seed. I don't think they are good enough defensively. But if Lamont Butler, who was on the San Diego State team that won it, made the title game 2 years ago, is healthy, they're a little more alive. But I love Houston in this region. I wish Clemson was in the Tennessee side, and I'd be tempted to take Clemson to the Elite Eight. But I can't pick against Houston. I just can't pick against Kelvin Sampson, defense, three-point shooting, and offensive rebounding. Those are the things that win in the tournament. Coaching, shooting, defense, rebounding, duh. They have all four, and I think they're as good as anybody in this tournament at all four of those categories.
And then just real quick on the NBA prospect side, if Texas can beat Xavier in the 11s matchup game, you have some pretty good guard matchup, Illinois-Texas, according to this article that I've clicked on with Jonathan Givony and Jeremy Wu, your colleagues at ESPN, and they're top 50 players draft prospect-wise in the NCAA tournament. We'd have the sixth best player versus the third best player on the guard matchup there.
Yeah, Kasparis Iachachonis for Illinois, 6'6 freshman. I haven't seen him in person, but I do like the rhythm of his game, the pace, the shooting. And Trey Johnson, I have seen in person at Texas. To me, he is maybe a 20-point-per-game scorer in the NBA. Now, not a freakish athlete, but I saw him a couple of times at the Barclays Center earlier this year in Brooklyn. And the guy just looks the part on an NBA floor. He's got a great release. He can get a shot at any time. He's a good bad shot maker. He gets to the foul line a lot. A guy who could carry Texas. And if Texas does beat Xavier, a guy who could carry Texas to a couple of wins. I think Trey Johnson is not on the level of Cooper Flagg or maybe the top couple of prospects. So maybe people would be disappointed if the Wizards pick fifth and they only get him. But I think he's just going to score and score and score and get buckets in the NBA for a decade. I really, really like the guy. And some team will be, I don't know if happy to have him is the right word, just because of where he might go in the draft, right? He might be going to a team like Washington that ends up getting the fifth pick instead of a top two. But he'll be a really good NBA scorer for a long time.
I just imagine now if that happens and then, you know, they take him and now Jordan Poole's like, come on, kid, I'll show you the way.
Pretty much the absolute nightmare scenario.
Hey, if you just want to get buckets in the league, Jordan Poole is a good mentor. Now,
yeah, that's true.
Some other deficiency. I love JP. He's such a great dude. And, you know, I thoroughly enjoy watching him from an entertainment standpoint. I don't know that he has all the greatest NBA things down, but, you know, with, again, that's a different segment for a different day. Ladies and gentlemen, you now know everything there is to know about the NCAA tournament. Congratulations, Kevin. We did it again.
We did it again. By the way, I'm taking Florida over Duke in the title game.
I was going to ask that. But now we officially have everything we need to know.
Okay.
And so with that, we bid Kevin adieu. Kevin Brown, everybody, ESPN college basketball play-by-play man. Of course, you can also catch him calling Orioles games all season long on Masson if you are a baseball/O's fan. Kevin, thank you, sir. Thank you kindly. You're the best. Very much appreciate you. When we get back here on the Hoffman Show, Logan Paulson and I talking NFL draft evaluation, including a really important tool that we specify how is best used. It'll all make sense next.
Hey, this is DA, and you're listening to The Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.